previously, we have mentioned that David was not an ideal father, but we mustn't beat David up. We must be cautious. Not all children are born angels. There is the story told of a theologian. He was an Oxford don who went to teach at a Pentecostal Bible college in England. He didn't believe in original sin. So when his first child reached the age of two and was something of a rascal, he felt he needed to cast a demon out. Needless to say, it didn't work. There was no demon in the child. Some children are more of a problem than others. In 2010, the New York Times quoted at length an article by Dr. Richard Friedman, a professor of psychiatry. It resulted in a large number of emails in response to his article. He pointed out that good parents can have bad children. Not that that's anything new. Life observations let us know it to be true. Friedman stated, for better or for worse, parents have limited power to influence their children. That is why they shouldn't be so fast to take all the blame or the credit for everything their children become. At my first church, a new lady started to attend. Her name was Charmaine. She and her husband had a very bright child. At 2 or 3 years of age, he suddenly went within himself and was diagnosed as autistic. Charmaine used to take him to the psychiatrist. She told me she felt as if they were really attempting to analyze her more than her son. So often parents are scrutinized when there are problems with their children. The hope is that all children will become good because their parents are good. But sadly, it's wrong. Terry Eagleton, a cultural theorist, describes the dream of untrammeled human progress as a bright-eyed superstition. Teachers, parents, preachers, and others all have input into the lives of young people, hopefully for good, not only to inform their consciences, but also to activate their consciences to deal with everyday situations in a moral and caring way. David could be charged with failing to do all that could be done for his sons. The trouble is, so many of us accuse ourselves of the same. And when our children fail, we are haunted every day with our failures. Perhaps we should not condemn ourselves so much. Often when discussing the bringing up of children, the Bible proverb is quoted, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." This is a proverb, and proverbs are not promises and must not be mistaken for such. It is a principle that is generally true, but we cannot hold God to account when we have done our level best at instructing them, but unfortunately the child does not measure up to our personal satisfaction. Nor can we accuse parents of failing in their duty because of a wayward youth. We are often left to cry to God for mercy and help. And he is always on our side and will pursue them to the end of the earth. They cannot escape his love. In the 4th century, Augustine was the wayward son of a godly mother. Monica prayed and wept because of his immoral behavior and his false belief in a religion. Consulting her bishop about the matter, he replied in a famous answer, "A child of those tears can never be lost." Not many years later, Augustine came to Christ and influenced the Christian church with his writings, even to this present time. One of the most poignant verses in the New Testament is in 2 John 4, when John says to the lady, "Some of your children," intimating that not all were following the Lord. Whether it was her actual family or her church congregation that was meant alters not the underlying disappointment that would be felt. Even though this might be just a few years of their waywardness. And we believe that God will answer our prayers for every one of the prodigal children that have gone astray. He will draw them to himself. Amen. Amen.